James chapter 4, verse 7 to 17. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, very appropriate. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment over it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Now, listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why you do not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast, brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins.
Okay, so we're looking at James chapter 4, 7 to 17, getting things into perspective. Now, last week, I didn't have much chance to look at verses 7 to 10. I want to just go back and just cover that a little bit more. So that's where we're going to begin today. How do we begin to address problems in our lives? How do we begin to address those things that are in our hearts that so often engender strife in, say, our marriages or our family or our friendships or our church? How do we address those problems? Two spiritual truths that James begins to pick out here. One is God's grace. God's grace. God's grace is supplied to us, equipped to us to help us through our problems that we encounter. If we look back to verse 6, James tells us there that God gives us more grace than we actually need. He gives us grace in abundance. That is why it says God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. That works the other way in our world, doesn't it? Because those who are proud, those are the people that are lauded. But in Christian life, in Christian circles, God shows favor to those who are humble, who show humility and don't show a pride. You can count on God's abundant grace to deal with all that's required of you. Even as you sort of come into consciousness when you wake up, when that eye just opens, you think, gosh, it can't be that time already. God's grace is coming upon you, even at that point, even before you begin to connect with the day. God's grace is abundant. Abundant. And it's fresh and new every day. God's commands is another spiritual truth. God gives us commands that we need and must obey. In verses 7 to 10, we encounter some of those commands. In James, there's 108 verses, and there are 50 commands that James puts in to those verses, 50. So almost one every other verse. But they're not the commands of James, are they? Because if we believe that God is, that Scripture is God-inspired, that's what's been given to James by God to share with the church then and the church now. And James, in his letter, commands us to come near to God. To come near to God, in verse 8, come near to God. And what will happen as we come near to God? God comes near to us. In fact, God never is far from us. It's us who turn our back on God. It's us that turn away from God and walk away from Him. God is there. Come near to God, and He will come near to you. How do we come near to God? By submitting to God. Submit yourselves to God, James says. We're back to this humility that constantly comes out in this letter. It constantly comes out in these verses. Humility towards God, but humility towards each other as well. This works at two levels, going up and across. It's about surrendering our will, our agenda, our ego to the Lord, laying it down. James emphasizes that our relationship with God is crucial, fundamental to all things. We saw last week, and I make no excuse for repeating it again this week, in Jeremiah 29, it says, seek me with all your heart. And when you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. And when you find me, you will know the plans I have for you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Plans to prosper you. Seek me and I will be found by you. When we submit to God, then we will know Him. Resist the devil. And what happens when we resist the devil? He will flee from you. How good is that? How good is that? There was a short while ago, it went something like this. It wasn't resist the devil and he will flee from you. It was resist the deacons and they will fly at you. Now, I'm sure our deacons are not like that at all. In fact, I know that, well, one or two might be, but the rest of them are okay. But resist the devil and he will flee from you. That is a promise. That's a command. Resist the devil. Flee from it. Why are we so concerned about Satan having said when we can resist him and he will flee from you? Don't allow Satan to tempt you. Don't allow Satan to entice you and draw you away from God. Don't allow yourselves to be drawn to situations which you know are wrong. You know, as well as I do, that there are certain situations that you should not be in. You know that. So why have you placed yourself in that situation? Why have you placed yourself in a situation where you can be enticed or tempted by the devil, by Satan? God gives us that conscience, that wisdom. God gives us to know what is right, what is wrong, and where we don't need to be and where we do need to be. And once we listen to God, when we draw near to Him, then we can resist the devil and the devil will flee from you. Wash your hands, as Ray said. Very appropriate for this time, isn't it? Wash your hands. Always been taught to wash your hands. What's this about, wash your hands? It's about purifying your heart. It's about being holy as God is holy, to live a life without blemish. It goes back to our motto text of 2019. It's about confessing our sin before God. That's what washing our hands do, confessing our sin before God. And the best way to confess our sins before God is to articulate them, to speak them out. Not just to think about them in your head, because if you think about them in your head, you'll go all over the place. But if you actually sit and verbally articulate the sin that's on your heart, that God's placed on your heart, and seek his forgiveness, repent and seek his forgiveness. Wash your hands, purify your heart, and be cleansed from sin. It's replacing your desire to sin, because that's part of our human failing, our human downfall. Replacing that with the desire to live for God every day, wherever we are. If we come near to God, if we submit our lives to God, our agenda, if we resist the devil, if we wash our hands, if we confess our sins, if we are cleansed from sin, then we experience God's purity. Wow. Isn't that amazing? That we can experience God's purity in our lives by combining those five commands. It's important that we remember that when we confess our sin, when we repent, we are forgiven. God's wiped slate clean. Who reminds us of our sin? Who says that we are not good enough? Who said that? Yes, Satan. Well done. Satan. The poison parrot on your shoulder just constantly gets at you. Get behind me, Satan. You have no part in my life at all. Come near to God, submit to God, resist the devil, wash your hands, confess your sin, repent, and you are forgiven. Where are you experiencing problems with your Christian journey right now? Humble yourself before God. Kneel before God. Lie prostrate before God. Sit quietly before God. Seek the Lord with all your heart. Proverbs 3:5-6, we quoted it last week, quoting again this week because I think it's relevant. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Wow. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Seek him and he will be found by you. Don't lean on your own understanding, because that's not going to get you anywhere. In all your ways, submit to him. Back to that submission again. And he will make your path straight. Do you want straight paths? I don't want to be wandering off here. I don't want to be wandering off here. I don't want to be going into places where I'm going to be tripped and fall. I want to be on a straight path with God. So it's about submitting to him, to lay yourselves before God, to trust him and obey his commands for your life. We'll return briefly to these verses a bit later on. Let's go over into verses 13 to 17. In the good old days, are there any good old days? Are all days, I don't know whether they are or not. I'm not really sure. I think every day's good. But in the good old days, if you wrote a letter, you would write DV on the bottom of it. Or someone would come up to you and say, well, we're going to have this meeting tomorrow. And they would say DV. And you'd go, DV? Dio Valenti. God willing. God willing. We don't hear that now, do we? How often do you hear someone saying, God willing. But we need to hear that more, don't we? If it's God's will, it will happen. This is what James is talking about. Nowadays, we can make plans with very little thought to God. Man plans, God laughs. In fact, I don't think he laughs, I think he weeps. We plan things without him and he weeps that we should be going down that route and making that decision. We think we have all the time in the world. Do we? How do you know that? I can go anywhere. I can do anything. I can do it my way. I've taken a number of funerals of people who are not Christian in the accepted sense that we accept it. And invariably, we have the music either coming in or going out. Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. And I can't help thinking when I'm doing a funeral, and look where it got you. And look where it got you. Our attitude overlooks the simple fact that we don't know what will happen the rest of this day. I have plans for the rest of this day. I'm banking on lunch. That's the first plan. And then I'm shooting off to Nottingham, to Queen's Med, and I'm planning to find Alison. Having been to Queen's Med once or twice, I'm not entirely sure I'm even going to be able to find the ward, let alone find Alison, but that's my plan. Yeah, oh, no, that's easy. That's sorted. And then I'm planning to come back via Boston to pick up my errant daughter, two daughters from Boston Station and bring them home. That's my plan. What God's got in plan for me, I don't know, because we don't know, do we? We honestly do not know. Obviously, I will pray for journeying mercies, but we do not know what will happen, let alone tomorrow. I have planned. You see my diary. My life is planned out for the next week, months. But God's got other plans, as I often find out on a Monday morning when my diary just turned upside down. We just don't know. James says we're like a mist. We're here and then gone. We might think we're important. And maybe we are important to God, but in the scheme of things, if we're not following God's will, then we're way out. Our attitude, at times, we can be arrogant, can we not? We can be self-seeking. We can be self-assertive, my way. Self-interested, only interested if it suits me. Instead of a humble dependence upon God. That goes against the world's standards, doesn't it? Humble dependence on God. But that's what James is asking us to do. A humble dependence upon God. But often we have our own agenda, our own plans, and those are to the forefront. And if we persist in arrogance, if we persist in refusing to humble ourselves in God's presence, then we are sinning. James says so. I don't want to be there. I don't know about you. I don't want to be there. We seek God on major decisions. Well, hopefully we do. When we're buying a car, a house, a fridge, furniture, holiday, whatever, we seek God. Do we seek God in the small things? Do we seek God in the small things? It's been said, isn't it? The devil is in the detail. And I think sometimes the devil is in the detail. And because we don't even bring the smallest things to God, the devil causes havoc and mayhem. Because the devil can't be in the detail. Because I've not brought the small things to God. all been there, have we not? Everything we do is God willing. You've just taken a breath. God's will that. That's God's will that you should take that breath. See how God is in even the small things? But it is the important. If we don't breathe, we have an issue. We need to recognize that God is and should be in everything we do. Don't let arrogant self-confidence lead you into sin and rebellion. Do not go there. Do not go there. Humbly submit your plans to the Lord, even the small things. And I'm not great at doing that, but sometimes we need to. Said this before, how many of you dare put your hand up that you pray for parking space? A few. I had to go to the dentist a couple of weeks ago, and Olgotha Road. No chance, is there? No chance whatsoever. So I'm getting there for 9 o'clock, and it's 10 to 9. A bit tight. Lord, I need a parking space. Drove round, nothing. Drove up the road, nothing. Drove round again, nothing. Drove round the block, nothing. Oh! Great. 5 to 9. Turn into the road by Tower Gardens. There's a space. Drive in, but it's a bit of a walk. I can do it. 5 minutes if I walk fast. I can still do this. I get out of the car. There's an elderly gentleman getting out of the car behind me. He's in his 80s. It's been raining. It's muddy. He slips. He falls. He's on the grass, but I went and you do what you do. I picked him up and made sure he was okay. He was okay. He said, well, the only thing that's hurt is my pride. And he said, thank you for stopping and helping me. Now, my plan was to get a parking space right outside the dentist. No, God had other ideas. I was still praying. God was in my plans, but not in the way I thought. And this guy, I just helped him out. No big deal. And when I got to the dentist hadn't arrived anyway, so. But God knew. God knew. Let's pray, instead of holding tight onto our agenda, that we will be obedient to all that God wants from us. To understand that God has a plan for your day, and that we need to be part of that plan. Coming back to those earlier verses, come near to God. Come near to God. This is something all of us need to do. And he will come near to you. Submit yourself to God. Surrender all before God. Yield to his authority on your life. Do we do that? Do we let go of everything and yield to his authority on our life? What are you holding out on with God right now? What are you holding out on and not letting go? Because God wants to deal with that this morning with you. What are you not letting go of? What are you not yielding to the Lord? Resisting the devil and he will flee. You know his ways. Because you've been around long enough to know just how subtle Satan can be, that poison parrot on your shoulder. Just misleading you, giving you misinformation, taking you away from where you should be into places you shouldn't be, saying things you shouldn't be when you should be saying something different, doing things that you shouldn't be doing when you should be doing something else. Be aware of him and say simply, in the name and in the authority of Jesus Christ, get behind me, Satan. No answer to that. Satan's got no answer to prayer. None. and he will flee from you. Why do we allow Satan such a section of our life when all we have to do is pray in Jesus' name for him to be gone? About confessing our sin, repenting, recognizing what God is placing on our heart. Not just saying, oh, well, it's no big deal. It's not a big thing. But unfortunately, small sin grows into big stuff, and then we do have a problem. Let's tackle it before it gets too big. To purify our hearts before God. To ask God to replace the desire to sin with the desire for his presence more in your life. That passage, James goes on to say, grieve, mourn, wail. When was the last time you expressed real sorrow for your sin? Bear in mind that this sermon is preached 3 or 4 times to me first before it comes to you. And when God placed this question on my heart, it stopped me short. When was the last time I experienced real sorrow for my sin? It made me think very hard. And maybe it's making you think hard. How seriously do we take it that we would then grieve and mourn him well because we have done that before God? Come near to God and he will come near to you. Humble yourself before the Lord. Recognize that you bring nothing before God. Psalm 51, verse 17. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. That's what you bring. That's what God wants. Broken, contrite heart. And then the healing can begin. Again, Psalm 51, same psalm, verses 11 and 12. How many times have I said this? Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant a willing spirit to sustain me. Wow. James 4, verse 10. Despite all our human shortcomings, he says, when we humble ourselves before the Lord, he will lift us up. He will lift us up. How many times in the gospel do we hear and see Jesus healing people, forgiving people? And what does he do? He reaches out a hand and lifts them up. Reaches out, lifts them up. And that's what the Lord is doing to you this morning. He is saying, when you submit yourself to me, when you resist the devil and he flees from you, when you wash your hands, confess your sins, when you purify your hearts before me, I will reach out my hands to you and I will lift you out of that pit of sin, that darkness, and I will lift you out. Wow, how good is that? God, look, Jesus himself is lifting you out of that. Where do you need to submit yourself to God? What areas of your life do you need to resist the devil and make him flee? What sin do you need to confess and repent of? Come, kneel before him. Humble yourself before the Lord. Sit at his feet. Receive the Lord's love, grace, mercy, and forgiveness. And let him